Dumping it in your lap again. I'll leave it up to you because it's your choice. It's your freedom. It's got to be voluntary. It's on you. So here we go on the Sunday night edition of the Radio Ranch RBN edition over here on the 18th of September, Septembre in Spanish. And Roger Sales, your host, and of course you know what we do here. If you're a regular listener, I like to have social intercourse with you folks, really. So I'd rather take calls and answer some of your questions and get some of this clarified in your mind, because I know it's very confusing to some people. So I'll give out that number. I know most of you know it by heart. I know that, but I got to give it out. There's probably some that don't. 512 is the area code. 512-248-8252. I'm going to give it one more time. I'll give it a little slower. 512-248-8252. Nothing aggravates me more than listening to somebody on some video or some live show, and you want to find out more, and they give out a web address or some kind of thing like this phone number so fast that it catches you off guard, and there's no way you're going to get it. Okay, especially if it's live, because you can't go back and go over it. So anyway, I try and do that. I'm sure most of y'all know that number by now. So while I'm waiting for some of you to call, I thought there's a couple of things that happened that are worth talking about here. First of all, I want to talk about Andy last week. And Andy, I want to apologize for kind of jumping on you, man. But I'm sorry, you know, you were saying, what are you doing teaching on something that doesn't exist? Okay, and Andy, just because you don't understand this doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, pal. Okay, I can take you to three places right off the top of my head in the United States Code and the Code of Federal Regulations, and I can show you in their laws where they exist, even though you say they don't. Okay, first of all, let's go over to Title 42 in the Code. That's civil rights, all based on the 14th Amendment, civil rights. You go into Sections 1983 and 1986. And both of them essentially say the same thing, and that is the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the United States. That's the second clause of the 14th Amendment, privileges and immunities. The privileges and immunities of the citizen of the United States are the same as the white citizens. It says that twice. That's in the United States Code. Sounds like Congress may be the one that's racist to me, don't you think? Go down to the Code of Federal Regulations, everybody's favorite title, Title 26, title this show revolves around, the title that my predecessor, Ralph Winterhouse's whole 25 years here revolved around, Title 26. And right there on the front page, at the top right of the first page after you open the cover, Andy, Title 26, 1.1-1A. That's pretty close to the front of the book, 1.1-1A. Parentheses small a. That's IRS's jurisdictional statement. That's, you know, all these people that, in fact, I did a show about a month or two ago with Stephen Herzog here on the network on his Monday night, Tuesday night, whatever it is, evening show, Intel Report slot. And he started out with a long collage there of Joe Bannister and Sherry Peel Jackson and a couple other of these defector IRS agents. And they're going, show me the law, show me the law. Y'all heard that before, have you? In the Patriot community, you ever heard that show me the law thing? I'm going to show you the law right here. 1.1-1A, 26 CFR. 26 IRS, Internal Revenue Code, Code of Federal Regulations, 1.1-1A. An income tax is owed. Sounds like a law to me, doesn't it? An income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents, and to the extent of 871B and 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. Well, Andy, there's your two statuses again, no matter what they label it, buddy. Just because you don't know it's there and don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Okay, so I'm just not going to have that crap on this show when this is so proven. It's even validated by the Secretary of State and the Department of Justice because they've never come after anybody. So if you got a beef with this information, you need to go talk to the Secretary of State or the Attorney General because they're the ones that aren't doing anything about it if it's so wrong. Okay, so you put that in your smoke and pipe it a little bit. Got a couple of callers lined up. Sam, I wanted to say a couple of things first, okay? So there's a few things that happened on our program this week that are of great significance here, okay? First of all, got some new students, getting a lot of new students over there, a lot of people that are very serious about their freedom and want to learn this information. And one of them is a fellow named Theo. He's of Greek origin, and he lives down in Tarpon Springs, Florida, just above Tampa, St. Pete. They used to do sponge diving out there. That's why there's a lot of Greek folks there. And Theo is very spiritual. And he was very serious about learning this information, which is what you got to be if you want to be free. You got to be serious about it. Okay, sorry, freedom ain't free. And so he did his affidavit filing, and he did the notice on the back end and weaponized his position. And one of the people that he noticed, as we suggest that you do, is the sheriff. Well, sheriff sent two deputies out to his house, asking questions. Four times they ask him, are you a sovereign citizen? No, I'm a national. Yak, 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 yak. Are you a sovereign citizen? No, I'm a national. Yak, 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 yak. Are you a sovereign citizen? No, I'm a national. And then a final time. So this is why I impress upon you to learn the information. Those sheriff's deputies walked away, but you see what they're trying to do is trap him. Okay? And if you don't know your stuff, if you're a David Strait student, you'd say yes, because that's in your affidavit that you file, or the 31-page, whatever it is, okay? It's laced with sovereign citizen through there. No, you're a national. Theo knew that. He listened to me. He was a good student. He learned the information. When it came time to be a belligerent claimant, even though he didn't pull out a baseball bat and beat him up, he was belligerent. No, I'm a national. No, I'm a national. And he stood his ground because he knew the information and he needed to do that, and they left. Okay. Now, the second incident came from Florida, too, and that was a new student we got down there. He's from New York, within the last few years, relocated around the Orlando area, I think, north of Orlando. And so he, like a lot of you folks out there, when you do this, you want something that says you're a national. I mean, and you're just damned and determined to make sure it says that. Okay. Now, I understand that, but you got to understand that they've gone to great lengths to hide this. Some of the lengths they've gone to are unbelievable, really. So do you think they're going to give you something that says, hey, I'm different, I caught them, you haven't, that you can show your neighbors and friends, family? You think they're going to do that, really? Do you? Are you that naive? Really? Well, you better get unnaive because they're not going to do it that way. They do identify. Yeah, I know they're there. I'm trying to get through these stories. We'll get to them. Okay. And so Dave, this is important, Sam, is the reason I want to cover this. So Dave wants to make sure he's registered as a national, and he's bought his passport card and stuff, so he calls the State Department passport office. Well, a nice guy calls him back. And Dave's going, am I a national? I want to make sure I'm a national. The guy pulls up, says, yeah, you're listed as a national right here, and he pulls up his affidavit. And he goes, oh, yeah, just one page, man. We don't have any problem filing this. It's those long things that people send us that get shoved over in the corner, like a 31-page affidavit from David Strait or something from Anna Von Reitz. Okay? So he goes, no, this is good. One page. We don't have a problem filing this. And then he starts reading it. And the guy from the passport office goes, wow, this is really good. And then he makes this comment. Then he makes this comment. He says, we're getting so many of these up here that they're having to hold classes with employees on how to process them correctly. So if you're one of these people that doesn't believe they're going to file your affidavit with a passport application, rest assured they're going to, and they're teaching their employees how to do it correctly, and that comes straight, it's hearsay on my part, straight from the passport office. One more story, Sam, and I'm going to get to these callers. Got another new student. He's a real good kid. Ex-Marine. Excuse me. He's a Marine. He's not active. I guess that's the way they like to hear it. And he lives, grew up in Etowah County, Alabama, where we've got a couple of other folks over there. Nice county, okay? Happens that he grew up in a childhood friends with the DA. That can't hurt, can it? So he finds us about 2 weeks ago, and the information changes his life. I mean, literally. From going over through neighborhoods thinking you're fighting for freedom in Iraq, kicking doors down, shooting people, to understanding what was really going on and getting your sense about reality here, which he's done in a very short period of time. Quick understudy, okay? Well, he's going around, and yet a Friday on the show, I think, Thursday or Friday, we're talking about it, and he comes on and goes, Roger, I'm talking to everybody to know about this, and I'm absolutely astounded that so many people won't have any interest in this at all. And you see, that's what I've been telling you the whole time. I've learned this the hard way over 30 years. Adam's just learning it, okay? And this is only for a small group of people. Why that is, I don't have any answer except one. I got one. And it frustrates the pee waddling out of me, and it always has. But that's the reality of it. The reason for it, I believe, is the verse in the Old Testament, which says, because they have not a love of the truth, I will send them strong delusion, they'll believe a lie. And that answers that dilemma, and it's the only thing satisfactorily to me personally that I've ever found that answered that. And if you look at both sides of that, you can obviously see they don't have a love of the truth, or they'd be all over this. But the other thing is it shows us that we're the truth seekers, the other side of the equation, okay? And so I appreciate everybody out there. I appreciate everybody that's noodling on this. I've never told anybody to do it. If you feel so moved by your maker and your creator, you do it. If you don't, that's okay. At least you get your sanity out of it. But what we would like for you to do is tell other people about it and help spread the message, because we got to spread this exponentially. There's very few of these big platforms like this that you can get on and put this information out there. Okay? We'll get there. We're headed that direction, but we're not there yet. And in the interim, we try and build as good a base and solid a base as we can. So, okay, with that, Sam, I'll open it up. Who's the first caller that we got? Joe in Oklahoma. Hey, Joe.
How are you?
I'm really Roger. Good tonight. How are you, Joe? You know, Joe, I read something today that astounded me about your state.
Well, there's a lot of good things, but there's a few bad things.
Your state is the only state in the union that not one county voted for Biden or Obama.
That's correct. That is correct.
That's a real hap tip to you, and something you guys ought to be real proud of.
Well, there's a lot of good people, but Norman in Central Oklahoma City is kind of taking over. Man, I'll tell you what. Anyway. Roger, what I called about.
Hey, Joe, ship them to Martha's Vineyard.
We'd love to. I mean, throughout the state, it's just a small enclave down in there in central Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma and Oklahoma City proper that causes our problems. We'd be home free if it weren't for that bunch. Right. And Tulsa's becoming that way as well. But the rural areas, best people in the world live here. Don't come unless you want to leave your baggage at home.
There's no more. We ain't giving free land away anymore.
No. Roger, a couple of things I wanted to touch on before I get to the very main reason I wanted to talk to you today is, you know, Nadine, I believe is her name. I'm listening to you.
Oh, isn't she something? Yep.
But something I wanted to, just to reinforce what you're saying, when I was in college at Oklahoma State University, I took a course in pre-Civil War history, and a graduate student taught the last two-thirds of the course. And the final weeks of the course, we were talking about slavery and the Civil War and everything. And this is when I started having questions about, you know, how did we get those slaves? And after class one day, I asked him, just how did these slave traders go about procuring these slaves? And his comment was, they were either, it was their own soul brothers in Africa that sold them into slavery.
True.
And they were either outcasts of their own tribes, or they were captives of other tribes. So that fits with what you're saying. And he also said at that time, back in the 1700s, a good, strong, young male slave would bring as much as $4,500.
Oh, I don't doubt that one bit. The average was around 2,000. I'm sure the ones you described were, higher quality goods, if you will.
And, I could not get in my mind how you would take and just assume they were machinery. There's no one takes care of their farm machinery, beating them to death and not changing the oil, or, the higher price of the equipment, the better care you take of it.
You got to believe it, okay?
So, and I'm not trying to disparage any blacks or anything like that. I'm just trying to rectify some of the history that has been
rewritten
out there that's incorrect. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go. Let's take that for a minute and concentrate on that, Joe, because it's real interesting, because we get reparations shoved up our rear ends quite frequently these days from people that weren't slaves asking money from people who never owned slaves.
Sure.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. Why don't we go to the people that did own the slaves? And that's the Jew traders that have built family fortunes off of that 150 years of profiting from $20 invested to $2,000 to $4,000 sold. That's a lot of money back then, my friend.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Why don't those people have to pay some reparations? How about we strip them of most of their wealth because of their slaving, their lying, their cheating, and their stealing, and go back and pay the reparations with that, or evenly divided among all of us who they've stolen it from, really?
Well, and that goes back to the person that really started me thinking on this is, I guess you and I are both old timers, because Pastor Pete Peters on WWCR made a lot of headway with me on how this slave trade all happened in one thing or another.
Let's give the audience a little data they can go to. I like to give reference sources when we talk about things, okay? And the first time I ever heard this guy was on Pastor Pete, and it was on this subject. And it's a guy named Hoffman, okay? His first name escapes me in a minute, and it'll come back to me. Anyway, he's a revision historian. He's written a bunch of – he's got as good a vocabulary as anybody I've ever come across. You got to have a thesaurus next to you to read his books, okay? But one of his first books where he got a lot of publicity was They Were White and They Were Slaves. And what he had found and documented in that book is the fact that most of the slaves in the early days of the colonies were Irish or English. And they'd go through the streets of London and find little ragamuffin kids that didn't appear to have a parent, and they'd just impress them, go throw them on the boat, and send them over as slaves over to the U.S. That's where
the term redhead came from. Why do you think there's so many redheaded people in Appalachia?
Of course. That's where the term redneck didn't come from the black folks working in the fields. It came from the white folks working in the fields. And they'd paid so much for the blacks, as you were saying, and so little for these whites, the black people worked in the house.
Yep.
They didn't work in the field. So that's just a little real history right there. Now, it was interesting. Hoffman, I remember him making a comment. He said he did a college tour. You could do this back in the early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So without getting mm-hmm. Antifa and every Black Lives Matter all over you, So
yeah, there's more of it back in the 70s, 60s.
Right. Well, he did a college tour, and he said, I'd get up and give this lecture to these audiences. And who do you think always took objection?
I know.
The black men, because they were losing their victimhood. Me and Joe are going to be right back on the other side. We're going to discuss some more titillating subjects. See you in a minute.
Because consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Sam, you hear me? There we go. Got rid of it there. Hey, we're getting back from the spot break there. Got Joe from Oklahoma. Joe, I thought of it during the break. Michael Hoffman. Are you familiar with his work? Michael Hoffman.
He's somewhat.
A brilliant writer. He's done he's a really interesting fellow because he came from some big blue blood family, first of all. And he wanted to get into journalism, and he was an AP bureau chief for a while, and he started seeing what was going on. And that's when he bolted and started doing all this research and revisionist history writing. I think his website is revisionisthistory.org. But you can purchase a lot of his books. One of his more recent books is about 15, 20 years ago. Is one of the better books that's probably ever been written on usury. Okay. So Speaking of our Sabbatean Zionist slave and pieces of crap former masters who we'd like to go ahead and shake their pockets loose, all this ill-gotten wealth that they've stolen for centuries. Okay. That's the ones that do this usury thing. So where were you going, Joe? What else?
Okay. Well, I'm trying to build a case for the question that I'm going to pose to you here in a moment. You've mentioned Al Addis. I spent 2 days in Al Addis' house with several friends of mine in Dallas working on the Poor Farmers lawsuit that went to the United States Supreme Court, and they refused to hear it. And that all regarded the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1934.
Uh-huh.
And that's
34, key date. You can see what was happening because that's a year after the bankruptcy when they're trying to take over all the land.
And that Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1934 is why Roosevelt sacked the court. It was because of that case.
Yep. Okay. And, Wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just trying to give you a brief history of my background, you know.
Okay.
Then we go on up to, have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Roy Swassinger?
I may have. The name kind of rings a bell, but I'm not familiar with his work at all.
Okay, well, I won't go into it, but, you know, Mark from Oklahoma, I may have met Mark in the past, but maybe not. I think lives probably 90, 100 miles from me. But anyway, I'm sure he has. But Roy Swassinger was, I think, in my opinion, a government plant to upend this movement to... Well, I don't want to say become a national status because we didn't know about that then, but, you know, bucking the system is basically what it amounts to.
Sure.
So anyway,
you're looking for the nexus that's taken away your freedom. That's what the whole Patriot community's been doing, that I've been in it for 30 years. They're looking for the nexus, and they never put together birthright citizenship in the feudal system. That's the piece that's missing.
Right. Now, let's carry this on to our status, national status, and citizenship.
Now, I like to call it political status, but that word works.
Well, what I'm using is stuff straight off the internet, so I can talk their language, okay?
Okay.
There's a law firm by the name of Zhang and Associates. A professional corporation, U.S. immigration attorneys, and counselors. They have offices from New York all the way to Florida to Texas to California.
Well, they ought to have a lot of clients these days.
Well, Z-H-A-N-G, Zhang. I presume that's Chinese.
But anyway,
if I may read you two paragraphs from what they say. Says, although non-citizen nationals are protected by and swear allegiance to the United States, they are not granted the same rights and benefits as full citizens.
Correct.
Since nationals are not citizens, they cannot vote for the election of federal politicians.
Okay, right there is where the mix-up is. You understand what you just said?
Well, I think
Non-citizen nationals were in the first sentence. He starts the second sentence with nationals. They're not the same.
Well, he calls them non-citizen nationals.
Well, all right. Well, do you know what that is? Do you know who they are? You see, you haven't learned the material yet.
Well,
non-citizen nationals are those born in American Samoa and Swains Island.
Okay.
And they have natural rights, but they're the only territories unincorporated in the whole federal system first. And they are not 14th Amendment citizens at birth. We're both. They're only one. They have to naturalize to become 14th Amendment citizens. They've tried to they got one case to the Supreme Court about 10, 15 years ago. And again, like yours, they wouldn't grant certiorari. There was another one within the last 5 years that came out of Salt Lake City. There's a lot of American Samoans in Utah. Obviously, the Mormons have done real good down there, okay? And so a lot of them end up moving to Utah, and they get jobs in civil service and stuff, and they've got restrictions. Because they're not 14th Amendment full citizens, they can only go so high. If you join the military, you can't be an officer. American Samoa's got a representative in Congress, but they can't vote, okay? And so they took a case to the Supreme. They got a case started in the district court in Salt Lake City about 5-6 years ago. I saw the article about it. I got students that send me this stuff. You know, there's more eyes on watching this than just me. And so somebody sends me the article. And at the end of the article from the American Samoan attorney that's the lead attorney in the case, he makes a statement. He goes, did you know there's two types of citizenship in this country? Well, the district court in Utah ruled in their favor. Immediately, within 24 hours, you got a little law underneath you here, Joe. Immediately, within 24 hours, there was two amicus curiae briefs filed on that case. You know what those are, friend of the court briefs? Okay,
yes.
Amicus curiae, they call them. Okay?
Yes.
Well, who do you think filed the amicus curiae briefs on that decision in 24 hours?
Go ahead.
Federal government and American Samoa.
Okay.
It went to the 10th Circuit in Denver, and they overturned it. They can't. The previous one went to Supreme Court through New York. I mean, through D.C., okay, through the appellate level in D.C., and when it got to the Supreme Court, they wouldn't grant certiorari on it. They can't hear this case. They'd have to be honest about it and blow the lid off the whole thing. This is the scam. We're going to talk more about it, audience, when Joe and I come back right after this very brief commercial interruption. See you in a minute.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a...
All right, Sam, can you pot that down? Get into the meat of this. Joe, you've raised a really important issue here, and I'm going to go into it in some detail. Okay.
Well,
because man, I know that I didn't even understand this when my book was written. All right. It is only subsequently that I found it again, because somebody sent me a news story on what was called a plebiscite in American Samoa. And see, the American Samoans, and Swains Island is a little bitty idyllic life. If you look it up on the internet, you probably want to move there. All right. It's like you, if you look real close, I swear you can see Gilligan on the beach. There's like 36 people on the island, and it's included with American Samoa here, okay? And they are PO'd because they don't have 14th Amendment birthright citizenship and without being naturalized, and that means they can't get all the goodies, okay? They have put them in this unique situation so they can hide the national behind them. There's three statuses, political statuses, or citizenship if you want to use it. I prefer political status. There's three political statuses in the country. The first one was the state citizen, now termed a national. The second one was the federal citizen, called a citizen of the United States. The third one is American Samoa and Swains Island, called non-citizen nationals. Now I'm going to show you the reasons they've done that. They're hiding it. They're trying to use one to confuse you and hide the other. So let's go to Title 8. I believe, don't hold my feet to the fire here, Joe. I believe it's 1101, Section 1101, Title 8, Immigration Naturalization. And there's a definition of national, okay? A national is someone born, now listen close. A national is someone born in American Samoa Swains Island, there's the two, and the outlying territories. What's the outlying what's the outlying territories?
Well,
is there some other islands over there that we don't know about?
Well, there could be, and likely are.
No, I'm going to tell you what's going on. We got American Samoa and Swains Island right there in the statute. The reason they don't use non-citizen national is because outlying territories are the states. And that's the state's citizen national. And they can't put a non-citizen national as someone born in American Samoa, Swains Island, and the outlying territories because they're nationals. And in the statutes, they got to tell the truth. They can hide it. They can obfuscate it. They can do which one's the P under like they're doing here. But if you don't know that information cold, like this attorney obviously doesn't, you can't differentiate those two.
You get them confused.
Okay.
If I may, because he ends up supporting your very position that I think you are espousing. But he talks about not being able to vote in national elections, et cetera, et cetera, except for
the
U.S. House of Representatives. But just a minute, here we go. The representatives provides input but cannot vote on these affairs. Non-citizen nationals are also protected by the United States Bill of Rights.
Because of
the laws of their home governments.
Right. Because they've got natural rights. They left them their natural rights. They own their land down there. And whoever owns the most land determines on who sits in the legislature. If you had an abortion in American Samoa today, they could arrest you and indict you for murder.
Okay.
So that's why that is. Now I'm going to show you how they mix and match this term and how they use it to confuse you. Okay. Over in IRS publication 519. Now, remember, IRS is not a government agency, and they can lie to you. Government agencies can't really lie to you in public documents, okay? So the IRS can't.
If not Act Reform, they can.
Well, let me give you this example here. It's in Publication 519, and there's a statement in there. And it says a national owes total allegiance to the U.S. Now, what's wrong with that statement?
Well,
here, I'll answer it for you. The national is a state citizen. His allegiance is to the state. Allegiance for protection, protection for allegiance is the underlying jurisdictional formula. So his allegiance is to a small less state, not the U.S. So you see what they're doing here? They're taking the non-citizen national who does owe allegiance to the U.S. still, and they're taking away the non-citizen and leaving national to further cover up their tracks. Now let's look over to the oath on the passport application. All right. I swear under penalty of perjury I'm a citizen of the United States or a non-citizen national and have not since acquiring United States citizenship or United States non-citizen nationality violated any of the acts and conditions listed on page so-and-so of the instructions unless explanatory statement is attached. Now, why when they tell you to attach an explanatory – this is in the oath – why in the oath they tell you to attach an explanatory statement if you've been boinking little boys or girls over in Bangkok when right there twice above it, they not only don't give you the complete picture because they don't list all three statuses, but they put non-citizen national versus citizen. Why don't they tell you there to attach an explanatory statement? Because they hide it on the other end and the instructions buried in that warning box. You can attach documentation, including affidavits. So there's an example where that's lack of full disclosure. That's official lack of full disclosure because all three political statuses are not listed in that oath. And it's got an OMB number, which meant it went through the Paperwork Reduction Act, and it has to be correct, and there's fraud right there in the oath. Lack of non-full disclosure.
Well, here's another issue with regard to that, but that, you know, United States Bill of Rights and on top the laws take of their home government, and that's what you're saying the states. And here's the next paragraph, and this is the last paragraph I want to read you with regard to this. It says, concerning taxation, non-citizen nationals are exempt from paying a federal income tax or taxes to the federal government. Wealth accrued within the territory. Territories, commonwealths, and possessions may, however, implement taxation plans which mirror those of the United States. They also receive economic assistance through some, but not all, national benefit programs or services such as Social Security. So that supports exactly what you've been saying. Now, down to the meat of where I'm going with all of this. Everything that I can read from the Department of State and these various law firms, one thing or another, to become a U.S. national or a national, you must renounce your citizenship.
That's not true.
Well, see, this is where I have been, the waters have been muddied for me.
Well, I'm going to unmuddy them for you right here. That is expatriation. What we do is repatriate because we have a dual political status. Expatriation is changing your slave U.S. passport for another country's slave passport. Repatriation is claiming your natural birthright that Esau Edom has stolen from you here through this slick system. So these words, you got to parse these words, man. They're real important. You know, words mean things, right? So you're not expatriating. You're repatriating.
Well, and that goes along, what you're saying goes along with what they're saying in Public Law 94-241-302.
Wasn't that under Clinton, I think?
I think so, but what happens there is you have to renounce your citizenship. You have to do it under oath before a court of law.
Okay, well, that's if you're renouncing your citizenship. You're not renouncing your citizenship here.
I know this is a question that many people have.
Well, I can't overcome your objections when I explain it to you explicitly and it doesn't register with you. Okay.
Well,
you can go on and do your research. As I've said here all the time, if you want to do this, Joe, this is your decision. I've never told anybody to do it. Okay. Never.
Do your as Jeff Bennett says, do your due diligence. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, it's your freedom. You ought to be willing to research it.
I'm not trying to disprove what you say because I want to believe everything you say. I'm just trying to shore it up and do my due diligence.
Well, Joe, let me tell you this. In 11 and a half years, nobody's disproved any of it yet.
Well, okay. Good deal. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from. It's not to disparage anything you're saying.
No. I understand people are skeptical. People can't believe it's this easy, and it is. It's as simple as we had one status, we had a war, we formed another subsidiary status, and they've tricked us all into that bottom status. That's what's going on. That's how complex it is. And because everything's got to be voluntary, you can renounce that and move back over to the previous status. They can't do anything about it because it's your choice, not theirs. If it's their choice and they tell you what you are, they're open tyrants. They'll never be open tyrants because there are too many of us and too few of them. It's that simple, man.
Well, sometimes it's hard to see your hand in front of your face, Roger.
I understand, Joe. I understand this is complex. I've been weaving through it for 30 years, man.
Yep, I agree. I'm going to continue to listen to you, and I'm going to likely do this. It's just that I'm doing my due diligence.
Well, I want you to, and I think you should. My insistence to people is learn the information. Because, you see, that's the important thing is you learn the information and have command of it. If you don't do that and you just want to send them in paper, nothing happens. Because the world doesn't change when you do this. You've got to be the change. And the only way you can change is if you got that information in there. Now you're becoming re-empowered. Just like Theo that I talked about earlier. In such a short time, he'll stand right there on his porch. Are you a sovereign citizen? No, I'm a national. Are you a sovereign citizen? No, I'm a national. If he didn't have confidence and could be that belligerent with them, he wouldn't have known the information. So you can't tell. Somebody says, hey, Joe, how'd you get free? Well, I don't know. This guy told me to file a piece of paper. Well, that doesn't get us anywhere, okay?
That's right.
And so then nothing happens. You can't explain anything. You can't spread it to other people. And then in the future, when we're going to need this in rebuilding, because this thing's going down, if you hadn't figured that out yet, you're not paying attention. We're going to have to rebuild. We're not taking this. You know, the Lord says you can't make something straight that's crooked. You ain't going to straighten this thing out. We got to rebuild. And if we don't have this information out there as far and wide, we can't rebuild properly and close the loopholes and know who we're dealing with. Learning the information. I don't charge anybody for this. I expect you to pay me in learning the information and having command of it. Is that fair?
More than fair. And God bless you, Roger. And I thank you for your time. I'll continue to listen.
Okay,
and
Joe.
Participate.
Okay, man. We'll look forward to your next call. Okay, Sam, who's the next victim? JNLA. Boy, there's a ring to that in there. Hey, Jay.
How you doing, Roger?
Pretty good tonight, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
for holding. I've been devouring all the videos I can find of you on, and just kind of. Understand
well,
deeper
there,
level.
There ain't very many of those, so you hadn't devoured too much.
There's a couple good ones, but you're right. There's not a whole lot of them.
No, there's a lot of audio. I'm a radio guy. Okay, I've been messing with radio since I'm about 10 years old, all right? So most of my stuff, and I prefer to do radio because it's the theater of the mind.
I understand that. Well, each time I listen, I'm understanding a deeper level of things. I just wrote down a couple of questions that are kind of
okay. All right.
Quick. I just want to run them down.
Well, that's why we're here, is to talk to people like you with questions like you're going to give me right here.
Sure. So first thing is, actually, one of them was a right to vote, and you dealt with that with the last, because I had seen the same stuff about not being able to vote, but you clarified that.
Well, let's go into it. It's worth discussing, okay? So mm-hmm. Hold the second question. Let's dwell on this one for a minute, all right? I like to use these things as teaching moments for everybody, okay? So under the great heading of rights, there's two subheadings, Jay. One is civil rights, the rights you have amongst the other people in the society, and the other side's political rights, the right to vote, the right to run for office, etc. We don't get political rights under the 14th Amendment. You only get civil rights. So now they've got to give you what they pretend to be voting rights, and that's why they call it a franchise. So you're participating in political theater if you're a citizen of the United States and a voter. In fact, James Traficant, the late and great Ohio congressman, got up in front of the House back in the 90s and said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we're nothing but trustees overseeing the biggest bankruptcy in the history of the world." They're nothing but trustees. Because any laws they pass aren't the laws that are instituted. They pass those on to the administrative agency that's in charge of that subject matter. They reinterpret that legislation and put it out as regulations and public policy for the serfs. So you're not even getting the direct effect of the people that you put up there, because it's the administrative state termed the deep state that's running this show. Unelected
Unreal.
Bureaucrats promulgating regulations for the serfs.
Unreal.
So what you want to do, and this came up on a show earlier, I'm on earlier in the day on another network, and they got some guys over there looking into it too, because we've had several questions on my show in the last week about it. And what you do is you go into your supervisor of elections office. Hold on. You go into your supervisor of elections office, give them a copy of the affidavit, and tell them, either you might ask them, "What? I'm not a citizen of the United States. What category can I change to and still participate?" Now, we think it appears that that's called an elector. Okay, but better to go in and ask them. Okay, because now you're helping educate them along the line too. But you're going to change, ideally, from a voter to an elector, and now your vote has some meaning. Over there, it doesn't. It's all political theater. Does that help you?
It definitely does. To be honest with you, I don't even care too much, because I know that my vote really doesn't matter. It's all rigged.
Well, here, let me correct you just a little bit. It does matter, but it matters locally, not necessarily nationally. Because you can put people on the school board and commissioners and stuff. There's a saying that's been floating around since I've been in this, Jay. All politics is local. So the people that are in those positions directly affect you, and they do matter.
Okay. Fair enough. The other thing I was going to ask, with property tax, that's still, if you take this other status, once you go to a national, that one is also off the table, right?
No, you got to go in and get a loyal title on your property. I don't deal with that too much. I concentrate on what I do. But we got guys that have started our own group off of our show that are exploring this. There's some people that have done it around the country. And what I think our group's trying to do is to get this simplified and inexpensive and in a cookie cutter type format where people can take advantage of this. Okay. And it probably is better, from what we're understanding from a guy that's been doing this a long time, Ron Gibson, that it's better for you to be a national when you apply for your loyal title. He used to help people get a loyal title and didn't understand this national stuff. Okay. So what hit me when I heard about him and his work was that if you get a loyal title through him, it must free you somehow, because with as an object of someone's property right, you can't own other property. And with a loyal title, you have direct ownership of it. So when you got a loyal title for the property, it must have freed the person the same time simultaneously. And that always amazed me, because there's a backdoor way to do it, okay? But I hear that he's telling people to be a national before they switch their property off. What that does is it takes it off the property rolls. That's why you're getting property taxes, because it's on the property rolls. They floated bond issues and tied that property to the bond issue. That's why you're paying that, mostly for local schools and stuff.
Okay, perfect. How can I find out more about that group? Is that part of the, you had put me
come
on
hang,
to your
come hang, come hang come hang around our daily show, and I can put you in touch with them. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're working. I'm not involved. They're doing it all on their own. I don't really have a personal interest in this, and I try and focus totally on what we do here, getting you out of the system and being able to answer and discuss things like I've done with you and Joe and the previous caller. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready to send this stuff in. I had listened to one of your shows, and you mentioned, I'm just trying to find the exact document, like how to write my affidavit, and then you gave a list besides
there's a sample affidavit on my website that most people use. It's there. It's a sample affidavit. Go look again. It's somewhere there. And okay. There's two documents, how to file a national affidavit, which deals with a naked affidavit and with passport application, gives you the address of the State Department to send it to, etc. And then there's another one called How to Escape the Matrix, which is basically an update of my book. A two-page bullet point. These are the important things that happened. Bam, 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 bam. Okay? So both of those are on there. Numerous other interviews, all kinds of other stuff on there.
Okay. And then does it also list – you had given a list of who to send, like deputy. There was a whole list of
There's four. There's four main ones if you want. And this is the back end. You're going to send it to the Secretary of State first. That severs the connection. Now what you're doing is weaponizing your position in your state. Okay? And you're fulfilling what's termed due process, notice and the right to be heard. Now you got access to the common law because you filed your affidavit with the Secretary of State. Okay. Now you're coming back and letting the people in your area know that that was done, so that they have been put on a special notice using due process of your status change and not to mess with you. Okay. That all those man-made laws don't apply to you anymore. All right. And those people are, we recommend, you could send more if you wanted. These are the four key ones, I think. District attorney, sheriff, chief of police, if you've got one. And we've added another one to the list, the county public health official, because they tipped their hand up in Washington State earlier this year trying to pass legislation where they basically put the county health official on the same level or higher than the local sheriff. And they'd go around and jab you mandatorily. Well, that legislation failed, but they tipped their hand. So might as well stick the county public health official on there, too. Because now you're not eligible for any jab mandates. Tell them to go stick their own damn ass.
Okay, that's perfect. And this is sort of a weird question. Before I had found your information, I just stopped paying my taxes. I just didn't want to give them anymore. I was so sick and tired. So now, basically, this last year, I have not paid. Am I going to get caught in a weird window?
Jay, how do you want to sleep good at night? Do you like sleeping good at night?
Yeah, I do.
To pay them. Get a clean slate, then move forward in your new status.
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay. I mean, if you don't, you've always got that hanging out. I don't know whether they come back at you on it or not, but they could. And they could come at you and failure to file, too, because you were in the other status back then.
Okay.
Pay the tax. You are under the status. Clean your slate up. File your affidavit. Move forward as a free man.
So don't file until all that's paid?
Well, file for the year that you didn't pay when you were still
asleep. I'm sorry. Don't change my status until I pay?
Well, you could do that. Just make sure you pay them.
Okay.
I mean, that if you want to sleep good at night. If you don't, it's going to nag you.
Yeah, well, I don't sleep, but it's not for this. I'll take this one off the worry list. I'll pay it.
Okay, that'd be good. The worry beads list.
Yeah, I know. It's ever-growing. So you, I understand that we become a state citizen.
No, you become a national. No. Now, listen, it's really important. Use their terms. They've gone to an awful lot of trouble to buttonhole this stuff under a single label. Now that we know what they've done, using their exact words is the key to the matrix. I hear, I'm American national. Are you? Well, yeah, but why not just say national, U.S. national, because that's how they have it in their statutes and regulations. Okay. Am I a state national? Yeah, probably you are, but why not? Why do you want to give them something to object to? Use their words. Using their words is the key to the matrix.
Okay. I'll only use that phrase, but I just mean that in the concept is that you're coming back under the protection or whatever.
If you want to go look in all the old law cases, you're going to see it referred to as a state citizen. That's what it is.
Okay. So my question is, if you leave the state where you filed this, is there no, there's, you don't have to do it like if every state you go to?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what your schedule is. If you're traveling to another, if you go to Las Vegas a lot, you may want to notify the sheriff and those guys in Las Vegas. Okay. But most people don't travel too far out of their local area these days. And the higher gas prices get, the less of that there is.
Okay. You know, I go to both coasts frequently. So I was just curious. I guess I'll just put them both on.
Well, you could. You could. Okay. Just, you don't have to ditch your driver's license and stuff, but if you're going to drive, drive carefully. You know, don't speed. Don't press the envelope that way. Okay, Jay, you got your questions answered?
I had one more.
Hold you over. Top of the hour break. Sam's got to have some break here. We'll come back on the other side and get your questions.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.